For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, it is a Thursday. Guys, we are just a few days away from the Cowboys coming into town. Mike and I were talking about this, and I just want to mention this to start the show. There's no reason you shouldn't be in your seat on time on Sunday.
Yeah, guys, look, we're the worst at it, and there's no denying it. Not pointing fingers. Okay, you right there in Douglasville, and you over in Ellenwood. But no, as far as getting your butts in the seats, we fall back Saturday night. So you get an extra hour. So for once, I mean, we were down in Tampa Bay. You know what? They were all in their freaking seats when the team comes out and Baker Mayfield's going, woo-hoo, getting everybody fired up.
Yeah.
So be in the seats. You know it's Atlanta. You know the traffic. You know the MARTA schedule. So no excuse on Sunday. It's a big game with Dallas. Let's get that home field advantage where it should be.
Absolutely it is. Happy Halloween. This is one of my favorite holidays of the year. You can go to Mike Bell ATL and see a picture of us dressed up as Crockett and Tubbs. A few years ago, we did that, man, and we hope that you guys have fun tonight. Be safe, whatever you're doing, and a lot of folks taking off. Big O did to hang out with the kiddo today, so he is not here. Turtle is behind the scenes doing all the things, executive producing, and, of course, our engineer. Mike, we said this with Andy and Randy. Can we survive this early rash of injuries? And I'm starting here because this is kind of one of those things where you go, you're going to buy in early or you're not. And we were hoping with having the number one draft pick, who played pretty well last night, in Rishai Shea, that Mike, there'd be a little bit of a buzz. There would be more if you're beating the teams you're supposed to beat. So the Hawks lose the other night at home in a game where, you know, they allowed them, the Washington Wizards, to come back. Last night they lose 133-120. Trey actually played well. He had 35 compared to the 2-15, you know, 2-for-15 night he had the other night.
Right.
But the rash of injuries right now has me concerned about this team maybe surviving this stretch run here early.
We've been dealing with this now seemingly for every year since we went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They just, you know, they just can't seem to catch a break with the injuries. I get that. But still, you've got enough firepower to handle that game. It's a one-point game at the end of the third period. And then all of a sudden the perimeter defense, poof.
Stops.
Up in, like, what's the line from Shawshank Redemption? Up and disappears like a fart in the wind. I mean, just gone. And all of a sudden, I mean, nobody's D'ing anybody up. And they're getting big-time open looks. And they're drilling. It's the NBA, man. So, look, Rishai Shea, 17 points. Not bad for a kid in his first 2 weeks in the NBA, right? I'll take that. You know, there was somebody named Roddy playing last night.
Yeah, Roddy played halfway decent.
Yeah, man. Clint,
David Roddy.
Clint was, you know, I mean, Clint was acceptable. But, yeah, the bench really was kind of nothing last night, and you needed them to kind of step up. You know, kind of needed Gary Bird, our man Matthews, to do anything. He didn't really get any good last night. But Okongwu, he struggled, just 1-for-5 in the 24 minutes he was out there. But the game got away from them in the first few minutes of the fourth, and that's all she wrote.
All right, 404-726-0929. They come back home. They're in action tomorrow at State Farm Arena. They got a game against Sacramento, which is a really good team still. And listen, I just think, Mike, missing all the guys you're missing right now, you know, you could easily say, all right, this gives you an excuse, but this is when these guys should be carrying you. Jalen Johnson the other night had 29, last night he had 21. Listen, I feel like Jalen, I think he's going to be an all-star, Mike. He has that potential. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a lot of name recognition in the Eastern Conference and guys that you're going to recognize in front of him. But this is the stretch where he just needs to go off. where he just needs to go off. And all of a sudden, everybody's talking about Jalen Johnson carrying the Hawks. That's kind of how I feel. Trey's going to be Trey. But who else is going to step up in these absences of Kobe Bufkin, Vic Krejci? You can talk about no Bogey. That's a lot of scoring off the bench.
Right. I mean, let Jalen and Trey. Now, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, a lot of double teams. And they were double teaming Trey last night at times. And sometimes you got to kick it out. But then you look at that roster and say, okay, I got like an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid in Reese Hachette. We talked about Jalen. Jalen was good. He took a lot of shots when Megan made 9-21 from the floor. Trey couldn't hit a lot of threes. He was 4-13 last night. If Trey makes his threes, you know, then you maybe win that game or you're staying with them in the fourth. But it just, you cannot be trading threes for twos. And no. It's the second time in 3 days with these guys. That's exactly what happened.
All right. Want to hear from you guys. Follow us. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929 and follow the radio show at 929 The Game, or the radio station, should I say. Mike, there is a trade. Our Braves have traded away Jorge Soler to the Angels. We are not sure what we're getting back in return. It is not Mike Trout.
I'll tell you what we're getting.
It is not Mike Trout.
Get ready for the G-Man.
Who's that?
Griffin Canning. Come on, man. Mark it on your calendars. Mike had it on Halloween. This guy's you realize this man was a Gold Glove Award winner in 2020?
Yeah, yeah. What else has he done?
You can't take that away from him. 9 games under 500 for his career. He's been a career angel. So maybe a new zip code will help him out.
Okay. All right. The deal with Jorge Soler, by the way, too many outfielders.
Right. The log jam with Acuña coming back.
Yeah. Once you get everybody back, this was a smart move by AA to try to, you know, get some a solid bat in the lineup and a guy who could play. We know he's you know, not a great outfielder, but who could play. Okay, now you move on. And all of these things work out. You know, you got your DH in place. We've said this. They're not moving off of him. Acuña comes back. Harris is healthy. Mike, you've got your outfield. And for everybody that was down on Kelnick, right, I will say this again. They're not paying him a lot.
No, it's cheap. He's cheap.
So just we have to accept that and say, Mike, where are they going to get better? There are spots, you know where, that we could get better and you might want to spend money.
Right. Now, again, whether Eli White or, you know, the other guys that kind of rotated in the outfield and, you know, Luke, all these other dudes, maybe we could find a better platoon matchup with Kelnick out there in free agency, perhaps, right? Maybe. Or trade, you know, I mean, do it on the cheap, you know, salary control, all the hallmarks of AA. You know, everybody in their bag right now and everybody going bananas about Freddie and everyone kind of revisiting it. And some guys getting it wrong, how it went down with Freddie when he left us after 21 for the Dodgers. But you just watch a guy that's just so clutch. And it's nothing against Matt Olson. It's just Freddie's a clutch guy. And Freddie's going to Cooperstown. Matt may as well go to Cooperstown. But right now, that's where a lot of people, man, were so twisted with their emotions last night as the Dodgers win the World Series.
Yeah, congratulations to Freddie Freeman. And listen, nobody had any ill will towards Freddie. We were disappointed that it wasn't able to work. But as we said, when he came back the first time, we gave him his, love you, Freddie! And then that was it for some of us. And then there were those of you who continued to do that every time he came back. But the fact of the matter is, he is an all-time Brave, and now he's one of the all-time greats. Mike, you win multiple championships. You know, you win with two different teams. You had impact on both of those teams. It wasn't like he was just there. And then you collect the World Series MVP. And the other thing is, and listen, I don't get into all of this because it's none of my business, but his kid being sick and all that certainly played a role and was hard on him this year. And that is another part of this, Mike, where you just want to see a good guy, you know, come out the way this has played out. So I'm happy for Freddie. I'm not happy it's the Dodgers, but I'm happy for Freddie. And you know what? The Yankees blew this. Last night, Yankees absolutely blew this.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's getting on Gerrit Cole for not getting over to first base, but you had a bad throw from shortstop to third. You had that. Certainly Aaron Judge's first error in the outfield. I mean, that's dude, the definition of choking. That is the definition of it. When a guy doesn't do something all season, and then here it is, one of the biggest moments of the year, a play that he makes literally 100 out of 100 times. So the Yankees made mistakes, and the Dodgers capitalized. I mean, that's how they won the World Series, both in L.A. and in New York. And I got to be honest, I thought when Ohtani, they called that catcher's interference.
Yeah.
I was texting with you guys. I thought that, man, maybe the Yankees, well, you know, dodged a bullet, even though they gave up, you know, a couple. I just thought that maybe Shohei would go yard and get the really big inning. But the Dodgers, all they needed was that one, those two runs to push across, and they win by one run, and Yankee fans got a tear in their beer.
404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you if you have a thought or two. Again, Mike and I were both kind of in the same place with this. Was I paying attention? Yes. It's my job. Was I invested? Not really. I didn't have a dog in the fight. I just wanted to be entertained. I was thoroughly entertained by seeing the Dodgers lineup hit the Yankees the way they did. But last night, that game got really interesting. And, Mike, it was almost a tune-out for me. When it was 5-0, yes. Like I was like, oh, okay, Yankees going to make it a series. We'll see what happens in L.A.
Smoltz had some interesting points until the wheels came off. He was like, wow, that's a hell of a job, you said, for Gerrit Cole to get back on track. I'll give him credit, for the 6 and then eventually the 7, they take him out. But the Yankees, the Dodgers pen has just been more solid. The solid hitting, and then it just, by the way, have you ever seen a more feeble final three outs?
No.
I mean, it was like not even a shot.
Yeah. By the way, Judge completely underperformed. Completely. And
over the course of 5 games, certainly.
Correct. And when you start saying, all right, these are the guys and these are one of the best players, we've seen stars in the playoffs struggle before. But, Mike, this is your legacy, right? Now, Judge, and however that Yankee team's going to be constructed moving forward, you got to get back. We say this all the time. Like, you got to get back and resurrect yourself in these moments. You can have 60 home runs in the regular season. Guess what? It doesn't mean anything. You need to perform in these moments. And that's why Freddie has elevated his status to one of the all-time greats now. Because in these moments in the World Series, this dude's been clutch. He's been big. And I just think for Judge, again, Ohtani is a $700 million guy. But he's going to be pitching next year. So,
right.
Put it plainly, he's getting $300 for hitting and $300 for pitching, because that's kind of how this equals out. But I just think Judge, that was kind of a letdown, man. Overall, he had one home run in this series.
And then the thing we always talk about, whether it's the Bobby Cox Braves or this edition of Braves, it's the vindication. Look, a World Series is nothing we're ever going to sneeze at, but having two kind of puts you in another rarefied air. And the Dodgers have come up so many times short, Carl, in the last decade now. Dave Roberts, man, is kind of like a whoo for him, right, with the monkey off the back, even though we already had one during 2020.
True. I agree. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're coming back. They are hurt, beat up, and it's another reason why we should handle business. We'll talk about it next.
Hey, man, happy Halloween. I had to stop by. Becky had some awful, just awful candy options for the kids in our neighborhood, Carl. I had to make a command decision and get over to Publix and get some good stuff, man. Some Kit Kats.
What'd you get?
Some mini Hershey bars, 3 Musketeers. She had no disrespect to like Good and Plenty's and stuff, but I love my dog, but even I won't eat Mike and Ike's.
I was going to say, they had the baby boxes of the Mike and Ike's. Yeah. I love those, by the way. I do love those. But I'm a big gummy bear fan. Right. So
tell the kids
stuff.
How it is truly pronounced.
No, it is. It's gummy. Well, gummy.
But in Europe, it's gummy.
Correct.
As a child in Germany, what was the version of Halloween in Germany? I'm almost afraid to ask.
Well, listen, the Christmas was great. Like, the Christmas time, because of the decorations and all that goes on. Right. But, I don't remember Halloween as much as the Christmas, because it was so over the top. But I'll just simply say, I'm with you as far as candy selection. And by the way, the kids remember that stuff. You remember when you were a kid, what houses you went to. And it was like, I'm not going to that guy's house. Doesn't Mr. Davis live there? Yeah, but he didn't hand out anything good.
And nobody wants candy corn. I got no interest in candy corn. I heard Andy Randy talking about it yesterday.
I don't like candy corn either.
Chris, you on that? Yeah, I just never vibed it, man. No way.
Yeah,
no way.
I'm with you, Mike. I don't like it either. Yeah, man, hope you guys are having a good Halloween so far. Go to Mike Bell ATL. You'll see a great picture of us having some fun a few years back. And we enjoy the holiday, man. Right. I say that. It's not an official holiday, but it should be, because this is the only time that adults can do this and nobody looks at you weird, right? And it's great. Mike, I'll tell you. People are asking now what the identity of the Falcons are. And we had a great conversation yesterday with Kirk Cousins. If you missed it, it's online at odyssey.com. And some people are saying it remains unidentified. I don't know what you guys are watching. Mm-hmm. We have scored 30 or more points in 3 of the last 4 games. The Seahawks game was kind of, and we said that. 38 against the Panthers, 36 against the Bucs, 31 against the Bucs. Mm-hmm. Mike, our identity is offense. We kind of knew that going into the season, but it just hadn't clicked quite yet. If I'm telling you we're doing that, then the identity of this team is offense. And I want you to hear what Cousins told us yesterday. Kurt stopped by as we were up there at Flowery Branch, and we asked him about the growth of the offense, and this is how he responded. Yeah, that's how I feel. You can't say the identity is defense when we're last in the league in sacks, Mike. Right?
No, we have a good secondary, but we went back and looked at that Super Bowl team from the Saints. They had 26 interceptions that year. So you can't say that our secondary, like the back, picks up the front. You know, they got to work together. I mean, we certainly love the athleticism and the unbelievable ball hawking ability of Jesse Bates that was on display this weekend. But no, we have nothing. We have no, there really is no defensive personnel or playing personnel. It's all about the offense.
That's how I feel. And when we talk about, you know, our true identity, the passing game has stood out. I mean, you got the quarterback who threw for 509 yards, which is a franchise record. Guys, it's offense. And I'm fine with that. Again.
And the balance, by the way. We've shown the ability to run for 500, you know, throw for 500, run for 200
correct.
Or more. So,
And Mike, if our offense puts pressure on these teams, then it's the best defense is a good offense. And that's kind of what this is going to play out to be. Want to know what you guys think. They've been talking about it and saying, all right, what can we expect? Now, as far as the Cowboys are concerned, Mike, it doesn't look like Parsons is going to play. Who knows? I mean, again, these guys are all questionable all week long, and then all of a sudden they show up on Sunday. They have offensive line injuries. A bunch of them. I think two or three of their guys are banged up. And when you talk about their defensive line, not Parsons, but just period, they are also banged up. The Cowboys are dealing with a lot of injuries. And we'll talk to Mike Fisher about this coming up later as we go behind enemy lines. But I'm just telling you, this is why I feel really good heading into Sunday. It's not about just the injuries. On top of the injuries, they have given up a lot of points. 28 a game, guys. They're one of the worst defenses in the league. You're telling me we're scoring 30-plus in three of the last four and going into the Cowboys game? That shouldn't be where we're at?
I mean, even if you feel that we can't get Dak on the ground and he's going to connect with CeeDee Lamb, they're just not. You could argue they're not going to be able to win a shooting match with the way the offense is functioning, everything we just laid out. According to one of the reporters who covers the Cowboys, this is about 12:30 today, Carl?
Yeah, bro.
No practice for Micah Parsons today with an ankle. He will remain in the rehab group, said Mike McCarthy. He's not quite there yet.
That's big. I mean,
that is very big.
That is, because he's a game wrecker when he's healthy. And we didn't even know if he would be healthy if he played on Sunday. So identity's offense. Identity is your quarterback. Identity is being able to throw the football vertically down the field, which we've been challenged by the last few years. Identity is scoring 30 or more in these last few games. That's where we're at. And going into this game on Sunday, Mike, that's what I expect. I expect us to do very similar things with the Cowboys. It wouldn't surprise me, again, if the Cowboys are close at the end of the day, but if we win, I don't know, 36-30, again, you're putting up 30 points.
Look, you just got to find some way to pressure Dak Prescott. I know the fans, some guys are hitting us up on the text line. We were speaking to Coach Ra yesterday saying that we're getting there, we're getting better, and Ebba Cady is doing all the things they're asking. It's just, it's got to translate to hits on the court. I mean, real hits. I mean, as we said, if you missed the show earlier in the week, we're not saying, guys, reinvent yourself and be like a 60 sack team. We get that. That doesn't exist in the building right now. You have to draft that next year and do it through free agency. Or maybe they try to make a trade. We got a few days left.
We do.
But you can still find a way to generate. Maybe you just have to blitz more and trust how good your secondary is.
Yeah. I got a text today from a friend. I was busy doing stuff, and all I saw was Ojulari. And I went, did we make a move? Right. And the text simply was, that's the guy I would like to have, right? And out of all the guys that maybe will be available or currently are, and these GMs are working the phones, guys. We don't know who's saying yes. This is what it's going to take. All of that's going to be shook out between now and November 5th. But yeah, Mike, you know, that was his text. And I kind of said, listen, if we can get him, great. I'm not saying no to that, right. You know, but I just think that if you've got your hopes up for one of the elite brands at pass rusher or edge rusher, that's probably not happening.
So we'll see if, the Falcons maybe pull a move off. But like I said, it just seems like we're not the only – I think people forget. It's not, this isn't like the Falcons are the only team they're in the search for an edge rusher.
True.
And like they operate in a vacuum. I know we're all focused here, but there's other teams out there. We saw the Ravens make a move. We've certainly heard the rumors about the Browns maybe moving one of their guys, maybe to the Ravens, maybe to the Lions. But let's hope that we are a little proactive. But it's got to fit. And, you know, we're still trying to get familiar. But by the way, are you cool with the way Jimmy Lake operates?
In what way?
As far as the philosophy. I mean, you know, that you are kind of you are laying off the ball and you are really hoping, you know, that works with your four linemen get there, but our four linemen don't get there. So you're really dependent on your ball hawking, you know, corners and safeties, or your safeties really coming and popping the guy.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to, that defense, the idea is you keep everything in front of you. We saw it with Quinn back in the day.
I think, Mike, you play to the personnel you have. And the point is this, like even with A.J. Terrell as well as he's playing, you could say, all right, do we have two shutdown corners and do I feel comfortable in going in enough man week in and week out to say, hey, we're going to be willing to risk that. If you look at Jimmy Lake's tenure, okay, and you go back even to his days in Washington, right, they played a lot of man. Like part of that makeup was he had guys. I don't know if they feel that way, and is it more beneficial with the safeties we have to play everything in front of you? I think they're playing with what they have. This is my guess. And it has more to do with the personnel they have, more so than the philosophy, because I think the philosophy changes with different personnel.
Can't do the X's and O's if you don't have the Jims and Joes. And you asked the question, and Coach didn't shy away from it. He said, you asked about, what about Judon? He said, Matthew Judon has got to get the quarterback. He's got to do a better job doing his job.
Yeah, that's the guy to me that if he pops, it's going to take this thing to another level. Somebody asked me this question. Is he out of shape? I don't know.
I've never seen him play up close and personal other than when he was with the Ravens a few times with the Patriots. So I don't know. I do know this. The guy was one of the elite edge rushers just a few years ago.
He was, Mike. And the reason why this question was asked to me, and again, I'm not putting it out there as if he is, I don't know. But remember, he didn't have camp. He was just hanging around, and then they traded him. And then he got here. And remember, it was a couple of weeks, Mike, before he even really kind of figured out, okay, he's going to be on the field. And then he starts the season. Maybe this is a very similar situation to what I talked about with Hassan Reddick, Mike. You sit around for 8-9 weeks and you don't go to camp, you just don't show up on a Sunday and have an impact. Right. Remember Coach's words yesterday where he said, he's coming. It's going to take time. He talked about Von Miller, and all of a sudden at the end of the season, Von Miller was a dude. A lot of that has to be, it has to do with being in shape.
Well, another part of this is, you know, Judon, whether he remains with us, and most likely he won't, is he was, you know, in a squabble with the Patriots over money. And the Patriots are like, look, man, you're coming off a bicep injury, you're 32, we're not going to pay it. So this, at the end of the day, we thought, and the whole discussion you and I had back in August, hell, we're getting this guy on a major audition season where he's going to try to impress, if not the Falcons, somebody else, and get paid. So only thing he's doing by not getting those sacks is hurting his brand.
No doubt. I mean, like, big picture, you're right. For us, though, we need that. I'm only laying that out to say there's a lot of rumors out there about why he's not performing, especially at the sacks, at the level in which he needs to. Guys, edge rushers, you got to be in immaculate shape, man. You're coming off the edge every damn play. You're getting double teamed. And sometimes, you know, if it feels like, hey, is he giving it everything? And I'm not questioning his effort. I'm just simply saying he might not be in complete football shape yet, Mike. And I think that sounds crazy to a lot of people. But that's kind of what I felt Coach was telling us yesterday is it's coming.
Read between the lines.
Yeah. He wasn't in camp with us. He didn't work out with the Patriots. He was just kind of waiting around because he didn't want to be there. And then he got here, and it was like, we got to get to work. Okay, so he's been at work now for basically 6 weeks. Yeah. The first 2 weeks, I don't even think you can count.
So I've seen him get held. You say that about every edge rusher. I mean, there's times when there's nothing his opposite number where, you know, yeah, they can double-team him, but I don't think it's that you'd argue, oh, he's getting double-teamed exclusively. He's just not beating the man. He's getting, swallowed up by some of the big tackles so far this season.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. All right, hopefully that changes for us. But the philosophy thing is interesting. That's what I think. Look, if we had two shut down corners with Jesse and Justin back, this is a different defense. Because now I can take chances, Mike, on both sides and say, I don't care who's out there. We're going to go man up. And now I'm bringing more blitz packages, and I don't care about getting beat because I know my guys will be there. That's not how we're playing. And the irony is we're still stacking wins.
Right. I mentioned the Cowboys. And again, our buddy Fish, you don't want to miss 620, one of the more entertaining radio hosts in the country. Good dude. But DeMarcus Lawrence banged up, Marshawn Nealon banged up, and now the word out of Dallas camp is he is not practicing. Micah Parsons not practicing today with that ankle, and the coach made it sound like it's still not there yet. So
they got a bunch of injuries.
You would think, you know, knock wood, that we should be able to do what we've been doing. You know, because it makes it sound almost like they're going to look a lot like what the Bucs were. The Bucs couldn't get there.
Let's hear Kirk Cousins.
I'll get somebody else to ask you a question.
Sorry, Jerry.
Come on. Let's hear Kirk Cousins talk about what he expects from the Cowboys here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think they're going to come out with everything they have, and that's always a dangerous football team. I just think they have too many people on their football team that have played in really big games and really big moments and delivered in those moments, and I think that's also something you got to be aware of. And you know, I know there's going to be some Cowboy fans in the crowd too, you know, so there's that factor. And you know, I just think they play with great team speed. They're fast, and you feel that all game long, and that's kind of what I expect on Sunday.
Yeah, but they give up a lot, and that's something that I think is going to play to our benefit. Mm-hmm. Kirk guys could have another 300-400-yard game. Seriously, with the way they play right now and struggling.
As we said, Coach, no letdown. I mean, again, no. I don't know what they were thinking with Seattle, because Seattle is coming in here hungry. Cowboys lose this game. It's a 3-game losing streak. And, you know, for a lot of folks, the numbers, Carl, at least on the analytics, nerds, say that that puts them in a position where the odds are super long for them to even make the wild card.
No, I don't think they're the best team in their division right now, Mike. They got some room to grow, man. We'll come back. Hey, Braves make a trade. What's it mean for our roster? Dodgers win the World Series. And UGA, Florida, the countdown's on. We'll talk with Barbara Dooley at 4 today. Stay there. We got something else to tell you about the game next.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something.
You know, we haven't even mentioned this. We keep talking about the Cowboys and how they are somewhat devastated on defense with all these injuries. Mike, they're also giving up 154 yards rushing a game.
Plays right. Again, we don't want to get overconfident. But I do know there's this impression that somehow, and again, because the Cowboys have so many fans nationally and all this, but they are a team that's got issues. So, yeah, I mean, look, we have to execute because, as we said, we've got a defense that's it is the worst by any metric of getting the quarterback on the ground. Carl, we talked about how bad we are on third down, getting teams off the field.
Yep.
So all that, you know, goes along with you got to get pressure on Dak. But, yes, I think if you're going to handicap this game, the over is going to be the play.
I agree with you on that. We're going to give you our picks coming up tomorrow here on the show. Also on the way, as we mentioned, Barbara Dooley is going to join us for her regular spot on the show at 4 o'clock for the Dog Report. We'll talk Florida, Georgia with her. And we'll also go and talk to David Waters, Mike, who is the creator and host of Gators Breakdown, and find out what he thinks about why the Gators are playing so much better right now. As we said, if you just missed it, Braves do make a trade, and Jorge Soler traded away to the Angels. Who did you say we were getting back?
Let me tell you who we're getting back, buddy. Griffin Canning.
Who?
Griffin Canning. You want to know the scouting report on old Grifter?
Yes, please.
On GC? All right, man. Lanky frame that generates very good action. He's got a very active fastball, solid slider. Matter of fact, he's a four-pitch kind of guy, Carl. Has a tendency to pitch well in high-pressure situations. Lacks strength and stamina. So, didn't they just say he was like lanky? It's just like reading an NFL scouting report. They kind of go right against what they just said. Needs to add more bulk in order to maximize output. Injuries are also a factor here. But still, talented right-hander, and he does have, again, a good velocity. He's gotten up in 95 and stuff, so he could be a fifth starter.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I'm more concerned about.
Chris just gave the look of, like, give me an effing break. No, I'm saying he could hypothetically be a fifth starter.
Listen, here's the thing as we talk about the Braves.
Ye of little faith.
Schwellenbach, guys, has the potential to be a number one guy. He probably won't if Strider comes back and is Strider. But the fact is, you can never have enough number ones, guys. We talk about the Smoltz-Glavin thing all the time, Mike. We had three number ones in this town for years.
I don't know.
Any of those guys go anywhere else, they're the number one guy.
Right.
So Schwellenbach has the stuff to be a number one. I know he was our fifth starter based on the circumstances, but this is what I'm more concerned about, though.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, and Charlie Morton's gone. So I think you get to wrap your heads around that one. Strider, now, we don't know how effective Strider is going to be when he gets back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like how we feel about Acuna. But as far as places that – but this guy started over 90 games in his career. Grant McCauley's got some good breakdowns on our new guy, Griffin Canning. Soler is gone, and now I said to Carl during the commercial break, do you think maybe – you want to keep Laureano around, or you want to keep Whit Merrifield around because he's a guy that can basically play every position? There's a bunch of dudes like Duvall's gone, for instance. That's obviously that ship has sailed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's too old.
I am more concerned with where you're getting these 60 starts from two guys that are not going to be here. That's what I'm more concerned about.
Right, well, you have to go. I know he has an aversion, talking about Alex Anthopoulos, to go and getting frontline starting pitching, the big money. Is there still, a couple of guys brought this up on the
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Text line just now, they said, what about Fried? We just assume that Fried's going to get $150 million somewhere, and the Braves aren't willing to spend that. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. By the way, real quick, what's your number for Fried that you'd say that's too much based on, unfortunately, the recent spat of injuries over the last three seasons?
Anything,
I don't know.
Anything over 130 is too much.
Okay. Well, that's probably – he's probably gone then.
Anything over 130. I'm more concerned with the 60 starts that you're losing from Morton and Fried than I am anything. Again, Ronaldo Lopez, Sale, Schwellenbach, great. Strider back at some point. We can talk about the lineup all we want. You know what I want from the lineup? Get healthy. Let's see what the new hitting coach does, okay? For all the guys that were struggling this year, that excuse is gone. We got a new guy in the building. So, Mike, as we talk about this trade, and again, you're adding another arm, that's fine. But that is my most concerning thing is because that just doesn't grow on trees, man. You when you start saying a guy is expected to give you X amount of starts for everything that Charlie Morton wasn't, he was going to be running out there and giving you 30 starts.
All right, now we kept waiting for Ian Anderson. It never happened. Never made it to the show, despite apparently putting some good numbers up in Gwinnett. So, okay, Mr. Anderson. You know, I mean, hopefully Ian Anderson comes out of Northport this year and he's there. Same thing goes for A.J. Smith-Chavez. Slow burn. You know, they were in that weird position of having to make him start that game in San Diego because we're so burned out after the Mets series. But, you know, Smith-Chavez and Ian Anderson is supposed to be – it's time. Okay, we're going to wait till you're 30? It's go time.
What do you guys think?
I'm not impressed, but I don't like it. I'm just saying, these guys got to step up.
No, no. And by the way, I don't think this is anything significant. I mean, this is more of we need to get a guy off our roster where we are kind of jammed up in the outfield. Again, when you start looking at our outfield, Kelnick, Harris, Eli White was out there. You're throwing some guys out there. Duvall, you're getting a guy that's going to be out there in right field for you every day, and the outfield is going to be set. So, you know, Marcelo Ozuna, again, coming back under the salary he is, Mike, for what the production
he's
he gave
DH.
You, he's great.
$16 million man. I know that, look, guys, if you're crapping on Ozuna, I mean, come on. The guy was money. The team doesn't even make the playoffs without Ozuna because he had the team on his back as everybody else was going through their swoons when Murphy couldn't hit his weight. And Olsen had those ice-cold stretches. So, yeah, you can't beat that price, $16 million for Marcel.
Not at all. All right, that's the Braves, and that's what's going on there. Meanwhile, as we said, Dodgers win the World Series, an incredible comeback. And, you know, the story is really Freddie Freeman. And Turtle, can I hear Freddie being told he's the MVP and then Freddie on winning the MVP and winning the World Series? This is from last night. Dodgers were down, guys, come back to win, and they end the series in an incredible fashion. This game was very entertaining, but as Mike said, Yankees blew this game.
Yep.
This is Freddie Freeman.
We've got one more thing to do. Come on over here, Freddie. This is the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet. Freddie Freeman, it's all yours.
Yeah, pretty damn incredible, man.
And by the way, don't even have that on the field at Yankee Stadium with those absolute
animals.
I mean, Boone, he was talking about his mom dying of cancer, and these guys are, ah! I mean, the New York Yankees and the New York crowd, could you not have been a bigger horse's ass than those fans were this week up in New York? Either way, Dodgers get it done, and Gerrit Cole, everybody talking about him not getting over to first base, but that whole inning had a bunch of stuff going on. You had the fielding error when, who was it, when Smith grounds into the fielder's choice of shortstop. That's right. The bad throw by Volpe going over to third. Then you had the Aaron Judge. I mean,
what was he doing?
Choking.
What was he doing?
Choking.
Okay. I did not.
Did you do that ever any other time this season?
No.
Was this the World Series game five?
This was.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
You blew a 5-0 lead, man.
I didn't get that. Here's Freddie on winning the World Series MVP.
This is everything. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here without the support of everybody in these shirts tonight. It's been a grind these last 3 months, but this organization, Stan, Andrew, Brandon, Doc, my teammates, my family, it's been a lot, and this is it right here. Not this, that one, that one. That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Holding the MVP, but pointing at the World Series trophy.
And he's right. Listen, he went to a team that was already loaded. Dodgers didn't need Freddie to win another World Series. But it's like when the Warriors added Kevin Durant. They didn't need him. But you add a player like that, Mike, and you're just like, okay.
But you and I talk about what the Braves are missing in the DNA of the clutch and the vibe and the professionalism. Look, we got on Freddie for crying like a baby, but, you know, understandable. Like, he should have got on his agent's ass and know what the heck was going on with the contract. But Freddie brings something maybe that clubhouse needed, you know? Because the Dodgers have the best team in baseball year in, year out. Never win it. They always choke it.
Yeah. Yeah, I look, Mookie, you go down the list of guys. Yeah. I mean, hell, Teoscar, right. Nobody even talks about him. And Hander Hernandez is huge. But I think with that lineup again, and it has been deep all season, and Freddie just brought a little extra something to it. But you're right, that those moments, man, when we need a big hit, the way he jumped out the other night with, you know, the big 2-run home run, it set the tone. And he did that pretty much in every game.
You know, and there were just missed opportunities. Just real quick, bottom of the sixth, they go with Gratterol, and he has like a roll of the dice. You don't know what you're going to get with him.
Yep.
Sometimes he's like total gas and he's in the zone. Other times it's like all over the place, and they're able to squeeze one run across. You know, I just thought that Yankees missed some opportunities. I really did think that the Dodgers could have blown the game wide open, but, you know, the Ohtani catches. When do you see catcher's interference, by the way? It was legit, though.
It was. No, it really was. And again, there were so many moments that could have turned the game one way or other, but that's what these moments are about. So congratulations to the Dodgers. Not really. You know, we didn't want to see them win. But at the end of the day, we are happy for Freddie Freeman. Meanwhile, as we give you some headlines, guys, brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Hawks lose last night. And I want to hear Trae Young. He, you know, the score, Mike mentioned this. In the fourth quarter, it's 92-91. This thing could go either way. And, Mike, usually this is where stars elevate.
Right.
And take over these games against teams, especially that you should beat and you're better than. This was, in the third, I guess this was Trey's three-pointer that made it 92-91.
Now here comes Trey. Trey in the lane. Trey goes all the way through. Throws it back outside. Keaton Wallace to Trey. Wide open in the corner. Knocks down the three. And the Hawks take the lead, 92-91. Trey Young has 31 points on the night.
Yeah. And it was 93-92 to start the fourth quarter. And then, unfortunately, as we said, all of a sudden, boom, Kispert, three-pointer. Sarr, three-pointer. And then, meanwhile, things are not happening. You know, another three-pointer. If you look at the play-by-play, they had like six three-pointers in a row. Perimeter defense does not exist.
Mm.
You know, and at one point, I was waiting for Quinn Snyder to take his Sally Jesse Raphael glasses and throw them at somebody. I mean, we just don't play perimeter defense.
Nice reference there. I'll say this. The injuries are a factor, but the teams you still should beat, you got to beat. You can't make that excuse. It's not as if we were playing Denver, Mike, right. You know, or I don't know, any other team that you might feel like is just, from a personnel standpoint, better than the Hawks. The Mavs, who were, you know, in the finals last year, or Boston.
We're flat.
Oh, I don't know. They were in it. They were in it.
You know, and then we were talking about this earlier. You know, it's, what's it, Jonas, Valanciunas, right?
Yes.
Valanciunas. I got it, Chris. I said, I just looked up the pronunciation. It took me a second. Got the phonetics. And that big, you know, one-eyebrow Cro-Magnon was starting to hit everything in the paint, and then we had no answer for him. He had 22 off the bench.
Well, here's the thing, too. And I mean, you know, it's game by game. But like Big O, right? Double O came out, 28, career high. Where's that at?
Well, that's the thing. You and I got all hot and bothered after this unbelievable performance, and then can you sustain it?
That's one way to put it.
We were just playing at a slow pace.
Look, I'm trying to keep the faith.
Where's that at, though? I'm like, double O, like 28. Yeah. I told you guys, 16
right.
And 10.
Consistently, but the ceiling, that's why when you and I always have these, not the arguments, we just debate. Like, I think you've seen the best he can be, and then he puts 28 out there. You're like, wow, okay. And then... We're at. So, you know, where's you let one of the crap teams in the league score 133 points because you don't defend the perimeter.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Hey, what's going on with the Dogs as they get ready for Florida on Saturday? We're going to talk more about that. Hey, but when we come back, we got to go around the NFL, and there's a lot of news around the league. And then David Waters is going to join us to talk about Florida. Stay there, 3 o'clock hour straight ahead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.